Hello. Thank you for watching and listening to You Had Options. This episode I've been from the Edmonton band Real Sickies. They just put out a great new album called Love Is For Lovers. It's out on Stomp Records. Go check it out. Go buy it. Go support them. Go buy their merch. You know, they have great videos out there right now for their single Love Is For Lovers. It's fun. We talk about it a little bit in this episode. Go like them, follow them on Instagram, all that good stuff. It's at Real Sickies. Thank you for listening. Go follow You at Options, at You at Options, everywhere, Instagram, all that good stuff. Yeah, enjoy. Ben, I'm in such a disarray.
Oh, Michael, it's all right.
So you guys, Real Sickies, have a new album out on Stomp Records.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love Is For Lovers.
That's right. Yeah, it just came out, what's the date? I guess 2 weeks ago now?
Yeah.
I think July 9th or something, 8th.
How has the response been?
So far, pretty good. It seems like people are enjoying it.
Yeah.
People are watching the videos, which is nice.
Yeah.
Getting to do stuff like this is like, it's nice to see some response. So
right.
I feel like it's doing good. I'm glad that it came out and.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice. I like it a lot. So that's one person for sure.
Well, yeah, that's, you're the second person, I think.
Oh shit.
There's been more, but you know, it's nice. It's nice when you get to meet people and they're like, hey, I like your album.
Right. Yeah. It's because especially now, in the way music is just distributed, it's tough because it feels like sometimes you're just throwing stuff into the ether and you don't know. Yeah. It's just like, kind of sending signals out into space and being like, you know,
is this one going to connect? Is it going to bounce off the satellite?
Right.
And sometimes it takes like almost a year for it to actually click too.
Right.
So see it kind of, you know, right out the gate, be like getting some attention. It's nice. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Are those actual couples in the video for Love Is For Lovers?
Yeah. They are actual couples. It was hard to get couples in a pandemic, you know.
Right.
So I know that we reached out to a lot of people and especially when it's your friends, it's hard to it's easier to flake on your friend in a video, like, you know,
make it. Yeah
So last minute. So I think that one was pretty hard to put together because of that reason, but otherwise I'm happy with how that one turned out. Like doing anything in pandemic with a bunch of people is just tough.
It's tough. Yeah. So you're in, are you in Edmonton?
We're in Edmonton. Yeah.
Okay. What is the pandemic like now up there?
I don't know. There was a lot of like anti-mask rally things going on,
right,
leading to it. There was a lot of cases happening, but I think everyone who's into kind of arts and whatnot, which surprisingly Edmonton has a really strong arts community.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to get their shots, and it seems like most of the people here have been playing it safe and now are kind of itching to get out. I think everyone in my circles definitely had their second shot, so we're all, you know, getting to hug each other, and it's kind of nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
Still kind of weird though. Like, yeah, you still kind of, you get close talkers and you're kind of like,
it's weird. Yeah. So I'm in lower Alabama, and so it's pretty much just wide open, you know, now. And yeah, I don't know. I'm not a damn doctor. I don't know what, you know, new strains and stuff like that. So it's scary, but it's like, I don't know. I don't know what to do. You know, just be safe.
Yeah. I think that's all you can do. Like, we're starting to get show offers now, and it's, you know, you kind of, there's like the fear of like, well, can we play shows? Like, is it responsible? Mm. But at the same time, it's going to happen either way. So
right,
I'm gonna have to hop on it and, you know, play it safe as best as you can. Really. Yeah. You know, don't spit into the crowd.
Right. I don't know. Yeah. Were you a big crowd spitter before the pandemic?
No. But I was thinking about taking it up, and then it just, like, my whole year got turned around. I was
damn it.
Spitting, you know,
2020 was going to be the year of crowd spitting for Ben.
I even brought sunflower seeds just to practice, you know, torpedo them. But come up with a new game plan, I guess.
Right. But you guys put out a record during the pandemic too, the quarantine record, right?
Yeah.
How'd that come about?
Well, we were on tour with Real McKenzies, and like before we left, it was kind of like news was starting to hit, you know, like, hey, there's this new sickness, this crazy sickness going around. It's the new fad. And, and so it was kind of like, oh, well, can we actually tour in this? Well,
right.
I guess we'll find out. And about halfway through the tour, things started to get canceled. Mm. We were like, let's just call it. And so since we had a week left of, you know, band time dedicated, we decided just to write and record and release that album, which was pretty interesting because we all did it from our own homes. I was able to go straight back to work, so they'd be sending me tracks of the songs. I'd listen to them, come up with the melody, write down some lyrics, and head straight home and try and bust out one or two songs a night in the evening. And so just sending those tracks back and forth, and it was kind of nice because there was no one really there to like question things. Mm. So I got away with a little bit more.
Okay.
Which, you know, maybe sounds worse than it is. Like, yeah, I just kind of had a little bit more freedom, I guess.
Ooh.
And so that was kind of nice. And it got kind of challenged myself in a sense too, especially writing lyrics to all these kind of songs and not trying to repeat yourself because the topic being, you know, being in quarantine and COVID-19, the whole subject is kind of there. But when I was recording the vocals, I was picking up the CBC radio in my headphones. And so I'd constantly be hearing things in the background, like, you know, all these new cases, how it's affecting these people, and seeing, you know, friends being affected by losing family members, jobs and everything like that. It's just all this information was just coming at you. So it was kind of easy to write a themed thing. And surprisingly, you know, some of it was kind of predicted, like, you know, it panned out, I guess. But now that we're kind of seeing ourselves on the other side of it, it's some days I'm kind of like, I wish we could just go back a couple of months, you know, like back to where we couldn't do anything. Now we have to do
stuff.
Now I don't have an excuse to actually see people.
Right. Yeah. Man, I definitely feel that because, you were able to kind of like, for me at least, I was able to like take a break and take a breath from like so much like, real world stuff, I guess. I don't know. That sounds like super like, first world problems of like, you know,
Well, yeah, I mean, in a sense it is, but it also kind of like kicks you back to like, who am I? What do I actually enjoy? And like,
right,
what are the things that I just feel like I have to do because I enjoy them? Mm-hmm. But when really, you know, it's like, find things that actually kind of, you know, bring you joy, I guess. Like I got into, I'm very poor at it, but I got into woodworking.
Oh.
I inherited this sander. I was building a dartboard, a scoreboard, and I had this like square piece of wood, and most like guys would, people would, you know, take a saw and cut a nice angle, but instead I was just sitting in the garage with the sander forming this piece of wood like an idiot and spent tons of hours just, you know, watching smoothing wood. I don't know. It just brought this weird enjoyment of how can you make something that's just being tossed out and make it look nice and useful. So kind of, I don't know, for me, it allowed me to actually do that. And
right,
which kind of, yeah, was calming.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's diff. Well, like working with your hand, working, like doing woodworking or something like tactile, like something real, just is so lost today, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
Especially with, you know, like me, I work with like software. So it's like, I can't touch what I'm making, you know? It's like, yeah.
Yeah, so, kind of developing something with your hands and seeing it and that, and like, you know, it was crazy. Like, my wife and I, we had our friend's backyard that we were using as a garden, and just like finding the small things, like, you know, even just getting mason jars for canning and stuff like that, like the weirdest things were just getting ripped off the shelf so quick. And I think a lot of people kind of went back to roots of like, how do you like preserve yourself? How do you get by? And so in a sense, like, yeah, it was like, you know, a first, you know, like this privileged problem, I guess, of like, well, you know, now I can't do anything, to people actually relearning some skills, which is kind of the nice side of it. And the whole time during the pandemic, I was kind of like, I want to take part of this life and bring it with me in the next part. Mm. Like, I don't want to just go back to running ragged and, you know, no time for nothing. I want to nurture what's around me. So I'm not doing the best job of it.
You're trying though. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm aware of it at least. You know?
Yeah. Do you have a big wood project in your brain that you want to work on?
Right now I've been working on, I've been carving out a heart out of this. It's like a 2x2 piece of wood, wood. It's 8 inches deep. I had this woodworker, who I follow on Instagram. He saw my post. He's like, "Oh, it's a bold project you're doing with that pine." And I'm like, "I don't even know what wood this is. I don't know." I'm breaking drill bits left, right, and center. Just trying. But yeah, carving out this heart, I'm pretty close to being done. I got the whole shape of it and everything. And, you know, that kind of ate up my July. So I don't know what's next. Maybe another dartboard thing, because, you know, my chalkboard skills weren't that great. So now I can try again. You know?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah. Yeah. You know, chalk, making a chalkboard is, you know, from what I hear, it's difficult, or it's not as easy as you think.
No. And, but like, I got to use like some of those skills too, like for these videos too. Like, one that's coming out for Destructive Nights, I built this, it's like a giant, well, it's like a side of a garage, because we have this elderly couple spray painting, and I didn't want to make them spray paint somebody's actual garage wall. So I built a fake wall, got them to spray paint it. I went on like a free, like, neighborhood group chat and got all the siding for the walls. It was like somebody just tore all the stuff off their garage. So bought all this stuff for free. I stole the plywood from some industrial area. I think they were throwing it out. I don't know. Like it was free. Who knows?
Okay.
But yeah, it's, you know, put that on my shoulders, walked it 4 blocks to the truck. Didn't want the license plate to be seen. And then, so used that for the wall. Then I ended up taking that apart and making these super thin strips. And I built a cage out of that for communication breakdown. So that cage is actually the sign. So, it was, you know, reusing and like just getting to spend time doing stuff like that.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. You're a whole new woodsman. I don't know. A new craftsman.
Yeah, I can build a cage. No problem.
Oh, man. Yeah. Did you guys have Love Is For Lovers, the album, written before the pandemic?
We were kind of already touring some of the songs and getting them prepped for recording. Some of the songs hadn't really been written yet. Some of them had been demoed, and the other versions are just completely different. Lyrics too, kind of came after the fact. So yeah, there was kind of some stuff like that we were trying to get tight and be like, hey, well, this is probably going to be the single. Let's start, you know, bringing it out on the road and seeing how it does. And then, yeah, after quarantine came out, we kind of just got right on it and really pushed everything. We started sending tracks to Mario. He came in and was like, tore all the songs apart, like this and this and this. And there wasn't too much argument about it. We were just kind of like, okay, well, what's best for the song is best for the song. So there's no point. And some things, you know, there was some give and take on it, like some, you know, pull, and it wasn't like one person said one thing and that's how it was, but it was respected of being like, let's try this, instead of being like, no, it shouldn't go that way.
Right.
What are you talking about? Yeah. So it was kind of more open and more positive experience of recording. We even sat down before we actually started doing the final versions of the songs. We talked about what we actually wanted. Talked about some albums that, you know, we kind of wanted to not really emulate, but, you know, pull energy from. Mm-hmm. And one of them was Teenage Fan Club, Bandwagon-esque, and can't really hear it. But when I listen to the songs, I can remember that conversation. I can kind of be like, yeah, you know, I get the pop feel of that for sure. So,
yeah. Yeah, there's definitely I heard a different bunch of bands, I think, that it seemed like influences were taken from or like worked with, you know. I feel like the song, the album flows very well, but there's multiple different influences. It's not like the same thing over and over, you know.
It's great. Like the B-sides starts off with like a 30-second banger and then kicks right into this basically country song to me, like a Rolling Stones country song. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we could do that and make it so it doesn't seem like you are listening to a different record,
right,
is kind of cool. Like it all sounds very coherent together, but it's, you know, pretty wide variety of music. And we did try like with other albums to kind of branch out, but I do think we had more of a formula on previous albums. And this one, I feel like we kind of broke out of that mold, but kept all the pieces of the mold, you know,
we didn't
throw it away. We were just like, okay, well, it'll now mold to us. We don't have to mold to it.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So there's 6 people in the band, right?
6 people. Yeah.
Wow.
There's always kind of been 6 people, but it's been a silent 6. Like Eric's been on pretty much all the recordings, but he doesn't tour with us too much.
Okay.
So typically when we're playing live, it's a five piece, but yeah, we want to include, like, add the face to the organ and
yeah.
You know, actually, you know, instead of just being the fourth member of Green Day or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you all in the same area up there?
We're all in Edmonton. Yeah. Mario's from Vancouver. He was playing bass for us for a little bit. But yeah, right now we're all based, like, again, based back in Edmonton, just to keep things, like, more simple for when shows start happening here.
Right.
You know, instead of flying somebody in for a couple of shows here and there, it just kind of made sense to bring it back to home roots. And then when things really open up, we'll, you know, see who can come and who can't and take it from there, kind of things.
Yeah.
Not that people are replaceable, but we've just always kind of had the attitude of, you know, let's work and we'll make it work. And there's no hard feelings.
Right.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's just being in, like, a three piece, it's tough enough to get, like, everybody on the same page. So I can imagine with five or six, you know.
I think with three people, you can, like, schedules are one thing,
right?
Getting everyone wanting to, like, drive towards the same goal. And I think some of us at different times have more ambitions and learning to work alongside with somebody who maybe not have the same, who doesn't have the same ambition as you, without, like, forcing them to have it, but trying to inspire it, without, you know, stepping on their toes. I think, that's been a major, major challenge, throughout the band, just kind of, because everyone kind of has, like, different waves. Like, I have months where I'm like, yeah, okay, let's go. And then I'm like, I need time off or something. I can't take this part on anymore.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been good to kind of have people pick up the slack when somebody is feeling low, down, or whatever. Mm-hmm. So having that many people kind of helps in a sense, but yeah, it's definitely tricky getting everyone there. I think right now we're all kind of like, hey, well, let's tour. Let's work this album. So
yeah,
it's easy to say when you can't, but
right. An influence or a thing, a band that I heard from y'all, hopefully I'm not just, like, pigeonholing here, but there's a Chicks Dig It, like, sound that I heard, and hopefully I'm not just saying that because y'all are from the same province and Canadian.
I mean, Chicks Dig It, I haven't listened to tons of their records, but I will say that when I was maybe, like, 12 or 13, when I moved to Edmonton from New Brunswick, and I had two cousins. Well, I had a bunch of cousins that were into punk, but I had two cousins, Mitch and Lee. Mm-hmm. And Mitch was wearing an Exploited hoodie, and they were sending us, you know, like, VHS, like, Christmas videos so we could sit and watch and be close to the family. And so there was a talent show that they had played, and they had covered a Chicks Dig It song. And I was like, this song is amazing. And Exploited hoodie, I was just like, punk. I thought it was called extreme music for a while. So I was kind of, like, pretty pumped on that. And then a couple of years ago, we played with Chicks Dig It.
Nice.
And it was a lot of fun. But I was using a lot of baby powder in my hair at the time. So anytime that I'd move, it'd be like big
okay. Big puff. Yeah.
And the cap of the baby powder had come off. And so there was a lot of baby powder that night. And they were borrowing Darren Chuka's drums. He plays in a band called Old Wives.
Old Wives,
also drumming for Teenage Ball Rocket. Mm-hmm. He brought the drums back to his jam space, and he's like, yeah, it's, like, been 3 months and there's still baby powder, like, every time I kick the drum, it's just so I don't know if we left the best taste in their mouth or not, like, some talking powder taste, but we had a good time with them. It was fun. I can see a Chicks Dig It reference for sure. I can see.
Is it like touring in Canada, since it's so big, is it weird or difficult? I don't know. Are you, you're probably used to it. Like
used to it. Yeah. I don't know. It's tricky. Like you could tour Canada in a short amount of time if you want to drive really far every night. Lately when we've been touring, it's been playing a lot of the smaller towns in between. So you have your satellite shows, you know, Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary, Saskatoon, it can be hit or miss. Regina, kind of the same thing. Winnipeg is always awesome, but Winnipeg and Vancouver are both about 12 hours to 13 hours away. So, you know, you have shows that are going to be okay. Like Saskatchewan's got more of like a metal and kind of thrash punk vibe. Every time any one of my bands that have toured there, it's always been kind of power pop punk stuff. So it's never really hit off there. And so it was always kind of like, hey, we're going to go play there. Hopefully this time people are going to dig it. And it's gotten better, but yeah, once you do that, then you have like a huge stretch across the Canadian Shield, which is about close to a day's worth of driving. And then you get into Ontario where it's, everything's a lot closer in the Maritime and everything. So it's, I don't know. I want to go somewhere else.
I bet.
But there's a lot of cool, like small towns that we've started playing and it's kind of fun. Like just checking out the punk scenes because they're hungry and they're just down. And so, you know, it's fun and we will do it again, but I think we're kind of hoping to be, you know, getting in a plane soon and, and do other stuff. So
have y'all had a chance to go to Europe or anything?
Not yet. There's talks of it for June and July next year. Cool. So, you know, depending, it seems like it's a go. It's a really exciting tour. I wish I could talk about it, but I can't yet until it's announced.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of like, okay, when it's announced, I'll get excited. But right now I'm kind of like, who knows what could happen? Like variant, all this stuff. Like to me at this point, I'm just kind of like, well, it's amazing that this has been offered and accepted. And if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it's great that we got to that point that it could be offered. So,
And it's always, stuff's always up in limbo, you know, especially now with the, with COVID. I like to do a lightning round. This is a new thing I've been doing.
Okay.
And when I say lightning, I'm not like, there's no rules. There's no hard and fast rules of like, you know, you got 10 seconds to answer this thing. This isn't a game show.
It's not a hailstorm.
No, exactly. Yeah. Is that a beer or is that the seltzer water?
It's a near beer. I'm actually on a dry July.
Ooh, nice.
Which is amazing for me. It's this brand SYC. I like to call it sick.
What is sick?
A real sick beer. But it's a Phantom Buzz series, which is very clever because, you know, Phantom, it's a ghost, right?
Right.
So it's not like, I mean, I believe in ghosts, but some people don't. So it's like not really a thing. So it's like a Phantom, like Phantom Buzz. It's a dead buzz, so you're not actually getting drunk, but you're getting the buzz, you know.
What's in it that it's non-alcoholic?
Yeah.
So what's the buzz? Is it
the buzz is just drinking nice tasting hops?
Okay, so it's like a non-alcoholic beer. Okay. And now you've piqued my interest. Have you had any ghost encounters in your life?
I definitely have had some ghost encounters.
Really? Can we please talk about it?
One of them was pretty scary. I was dating this older lady, in Edmonton, and
80, 90,
it was 2000.
Okay.
No, it wasn't that old, but older than me.
And, okay, that's.
Yeah, it was like the house just kind of felt weird. I wouldn't want to go down to the basement. It was a big old house. Just kind of the like cold feelings and stuff like that.
Mm.
And so I had stayed the night, I think the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up in the morning and I said hello to her roommate. And as I was leaving, I was like, oh, she lives alone.
No.
I full on saw some like a figure in standing in the hallway. And I was like, said hello.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Was she in like Elizabethan clothes or like what
I believe it was like an old house gown or something like that. Like it, wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Like just a middle-aged woman in her house gown, not actually there. So that one I'll take to the bank.
Yeah.
That one happened for sure. I was like, I saw that. Definitely. Mm-hmm. There's been other times where, you know, I can scare myself pretty easily. One of my older bands, we stopped in the mountains. We were driving from Vancouver. We got past Kamloops and then getting back into the mountains or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We pulled off to the side and we were going to camp there. So we smoked weed and telling ghost stories. And I'm like, you guys want to see something really scary? So I'd turn on the headlights and it would be shining into the trees. And then I'd turn them off really quick.
Yeah.
And we do it again. And every time we're like, something's up there.
Something's there. Yeah.
And then as we get out of the van, go pee and everything like that. And we hear, it's because of the mountains, everything's echoing. And we just hear this loud scream. We're like, what the fuck is that? Like, what's out there? And then get back in the van. We don't really talk to the other guys about it. We're just kind of like kind of shaking. Yeah. And then, some ambulance started going by, then cop cars. So we decided, we're like, let's get out of here. Then we started, you know, getting all paranoid because we're like, oh, well, if we just left and somebody screamed, those cops are going to think it was us that killed the person. So that one wasn't really a ghost encounter, but it was scary.
Ooh, yeah.
Have you had any ghosts? Alabama's got ghosts, right?
You know, there's a lot of Native American like burial grounds down here in our area. So there's that. And then also the Civil War, you know, happened here. Right. Yeah. And so there's like slavery and Civil War and,
just dark history.
Just really bad history. So, and it's one of those things where it's like, if you go to a historical place here, Like you can work yourself up and be like, oh my God, like I feel something here, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if I've had a ghost experience. I don't think that they don't exist, you know?
Yeah. But you haven't seen one, so you don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, I've seen that educational film, Scooby-Doo, Terror Island or whatever.
Right.
Zombie Island, you know?
Yeah, the documentary film. Yeah.
Yeah. That had a great track by Helloween, Terror Time Again. I remember hearing that one too when I was young and like, whoa, this is extreme.
Right. Gosh. Yeah. I was about to say, I was like, whenever you're telling the story of the old house and seeing the non-existent roommate, I was like, were there any Civil War battles that happened there? And I was like, oh, okay, never mind. Yeah, it took me like half a second to be like, oh yeah, Canada. Okay.
Not here. I mean, Canada's obviously got its very dark history.
Right, yeah.
A lot of it's coming to light more so.
Oh yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
Lately.
Right.
I think it's always been kind of knowledge, but now it's kind of in your face, like people can't deny it, whereas before, ignore it. So there was, I know there was like the Charles Camsell Hospital, a lot of shit went down there and it was abandoned. And when we were in high school, we went and explored that. We broke in and
Was that like a mental hospital? Was
yeah. Yeah, an abandoned mental hospital. A lot of indigenous people were there too.
Yeah,
and it was like burial grounds. And we're walking through there, and we could hear somebody in the hallway. We heard a radio, which, you know, looking back, it's like, okay, well, that was security. The security was there, right? Mm-hmm. But it had a weird feeling, and so. We got out, we ran out. My friend like cut open his knee on this glass and all this stuff. We get out and we're hiding behind this hill, which is I think probably the burial ground. And we're watching this flashlight go from one floor to the top floor, like going left and right. Like it's not multiple people. It's just this light going all over the place. Mm. That was pretty freaky.
Like orbs?
I don't think, yeah. Because ghosts don't really need flashlights, so I don't know.
That's true.
I don't know. I feel like ghosts could probably see in the dark pretty well.
I think so. Yeah.
Like a natural habitat. They seem to come out at night.
Are you a big like horror movie fan?
Yeah and no. Like, man. I like watching them. I like watching just kind of shitty old horror movies.
Oh, yeah.
Especially like there's even on YouTube, like there was a Pizza Flicks or something like that had like a whole channel of all these movies, and you would get them in like the box set for cheap at like, you know, your big box stores or whatever.
Right.
$16 for 500 movies.
Mm, yeah.
I like watching those ones. And then like just, yeah, I like watching scary movies just to kind of like numb out. Like it's sometimes I actually get kind of scared. Witches scare me. I don't know what it is.
Have you watched Hereditary?
I did. Yeah, that one was good.
Spoilers.
Ending disappointing, but yeah, that one was good. Blair Witch scared me when I was young.
Oh yeah,
We were living downtown Edmonton, and these magpies just kept attacking my cat. I was so pissed. And I'm like, I wish I could just drown those magpies. I wouldn't want to hurt magpies, but they're a jerk to my cat. So I was kind of pissed.
Nuisance. Yeah.
And there was a broom in the backyard, which was a witch's broom pretty much. And a couple of days after like cursing and being like, I'm gonna drown these magpies, we found two magpies drowned in our watering barrels. So I was like, okay, yeah, this place is fucked. And I'm sitting there in the room, it's cold, typing away, and my wife comes and like scratches on the window. She's like, and I was like, fuck you. Just totally thought there was a witch there. I was ready to punch a witch or a ghost. You know, and the fear of like going upstairs, especially ones that like don't have backings where something could reach and
get you. No.
Mm-mm. Those are the worst. But I'm constantly like, if it's dark and I get in that mindset, I'm kicking my way backwards. Like it's like one step up the stairs, foot out, kicking right. Back.
Yeah.
Like just like I'm so ready to fight a ghost. I don't know why. They haven't done anything to me. I'm like, I don't know. I gotta be.
Oh, God. Oh man, I feel the same way. If I've just watched a spooky movie, you know, yeah. And I'm in my apartment and I'm about to go to sleep, I will turn on, you know, the light in the next room, like a daisy chain of like I have to turn my next room light on and then turn this off and like scurry in there.
You could also like use the fridge as a light and tie a string to it. So that could be your last one and pull it. You know? Like true. I was about to like play a trick on you. I was going to like, don't turn around. And then I freaked myself out thinking something behind me, but I can see through the Zoom. I didn't even think about the Zoom thing. I was like, I can see you behind me. You know?
No,
I was just so zoned in on your face.
Oh gosh. Okay. Yeah. Okay. But okay, let's do
just tie. Okay, before we get to the lightning round, right. Just make sure you have a long string.
OK, Okay.
And tie it to the fridge door. That way you got the light to close it for emergency purposes.
Okay.
Pretty scary.
I'll get some dental floss or something. I'll tie it around there. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
What do you call dental floss?
Dental floss.
Isn't it like, have you ever heard somebody refer to it as like, what is it, like dental candy, or was it?
What?
You know what I'm talking about?
No. I think that might be a drug. I don't know. Dental floss, I mean, I would call it like thread to sew your patches on, because that's pretty good. It keeps your patches on.
Right. Really well.
Yeah. For the cross punk points. But dental candy? I don't know. Like, I guess you could get flavored stuff.
I guess. Maybe I'm just insane. Maybe I'm just making stuff up.
Bloodbringers? That's another one.
Okay. We're getting to the lightning round.
All right.
Okay.
Here comes the storm.
who's your favorite Canadian actor?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, you actually want me to? So this is the thing, hey? Mm-hmm. What's that guy? Let's go Steve Martin. He's Canadian, isn't he?
Ooh.
Yeah, he's Canadian. He went to my high school, I think. I'm pretty sure.
Steve Martin?
Yeah, he was I think he was here. He was born in Edmonton. Gotta pull a Wikipedia up. But I'm pretty sure, yeah, he's spent some time at the Victoria Comp School. Also, Cheech did too, from Cheech and Chong.
Really?
And who else is from here? Michael J. Fox? I think he's from.
I know Rick Moranis is Canadian.
Yeah, he's a good one. Yeah. He's not my favorite though.
Right.
But yeah. Yeah. Steve Martin, he's Canadian, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Let's see. He's got cool hair. He's a wild and crazy guy. I like him.
Right. what's your favorite like truck stop gas station on the road?
Flying J's. They got showers.
Flying J's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got novelty machines in the bathroom. They got lots of, it's just like lots of stuff to look at, you know?
Yeah.
Flying J's. That's, yeah, definitely the best stop.
Yeah.
I could use a Flying J's right now. So it's not true. I had a shower beforehand, so
right.
I'm good.
Yeah.
If I walk to the Flying J's, then I might, yeah.
Might need to get a shower cleaned. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. What is the worst punk rock bathroom you've had to go number two in?
Oh yeah. Well, this one's easy. This would be, I don't know what the venue was, but it was in, San Francisco.
Okay.
And they had a curtain just over, and I really had to go. So I kind of felt too embarrassed to go in this, you know, it's like a hallway and it's, you know, non-binary, which was awesome, especially back then. But it just had this curtain and you could see legs and everything like that. I'm like, this is a bad one. So I go to the McDonald's across the street. They wouldn't let me in. I'm like, okay, I'll go back to the van, grab some toilet paper. There's like no alleys around anywhere. And then I just found myself taking a shit next to an electrical box on the main street.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
That was the worst one because I couldn't even use it.
Right. The worst punk rock bathroom is no punk rock bathroom.
Yeah. Actually, and there was another one that we played. Where was it? It was outside Toronto. And we had a song called Fallen in Love. I think it was off of Out of Space. And we were touring that. And I went to sit down. And I put my hand in, like, there's like cum on the seat. And so there was a whole new meaning to Fallen in Love. I was like, all right, now I got my stage banter.
Shit. Y'all are just coming on the toilet seats back here.
Yeah, you know, I understand. Like, you take you're a little backed up and then there's some force going and then it just kind of comes out. Like, maybe they didn't notice. I don't know. But, or they did it on purpose. I don't know.
Wow. But
I fell into it.
The trip. Love is for lovers, you know.
Love is for lovers,
right?
Wasn't mad at anyone.
What's your worst border / customs experience?
Worst one. I had this Back to the Future novelty plate on the front of the van.
Out of time.
Yeah. And so we're coming back to Canada, which was weird. Like, it's like, this is my home country. I should be able to get in here. No problem. You know, Didn't be any issues. And they're like, okay, how come you have Alberta plates and a California plate?
And
because in Alberta, you only need the one in the back. So I was like, well, it's a fake license plate. I just didn't have the right words. And they're like, fake license plate.
All right. Get out of the van.
They were not too pumped on that. And so that kind of held us up for a little bit. I had to like explain, like, no, sorry, novelty. And they're like, why'd you say it was fake? Because I didn't have the right words, you know?
Yeah.
But there was another time where we were stopped. They searched the van thoroughly, swabbed everything, broke open all our soaps, took everything, brought us into different rooms, interrogated us. You know, we had a recording contract to go on to California. So we were like, we're good. You know, nothing's online, nothing's posted, but they really gave a shit on that one. And, but the best one, even though it's not part of the question, I know it's lightning, but there's a storm that comes with it. But we were crossing into Detroit from Windsor, and this guy's like, you in a band? We're like, yeah. Like, what kind of music are you in? And we're like, ah, shit, do we say punk? I'm like, yeah, let's just say, like, we're punk bands. Like, you like the New York Dolls? I'm like, yeah. Like, have a good time. Like, all right, sweet. That was easy. That is the best border crossing.
Man, that's, you know, if you would have said no, you know, God knows what would have happened.
Yeah, we're like, no, we're classic rock.
Get the fuck out of here. Oh man. What's your favorite regional beer? Like, you go different places, there's different, like, you know, like here, there's Yuengling. Up in the northeast, kind of like Pittsburgh area, and then, you know, Lone Star down in Texas. That sort of thing.
Okay. Are we going like microbreweries, or are we going like major?
Anywhere.
There's this one called Super Saturation that I've been like super digging. That's by SYC as well, I believe. So they're pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
There is one called Lunch Money, which is by it's this place in Hamilton, and man, the name's escaping me, but every time we go there, we end up doing the tour of the brewery. I can't believe I can't remember. I'll remember it after the interview, I'm sure. But we'll always go do the tour of that before the show. Sadly, the shows usually suffer after that because you're so good.
Right.
But yeah. I would go with Super Saturation. Mm-hmm. I would say. Yeah. And then if it was like a major one, I think I'd go with Moosehead, cause it goes back to being from the East Coast. So,
okay.
Yeah.
What's the most expensive shirt you've bought?
Ooh. Maybe like $85 for like a button up shirt.
Oh,
yeah, maybe. I think that's probably for like a wedding or something like that. But
yeah,
I mostly get, you know, thrift clothes. Mm-hmm. I've actually, most of my clothes as of recently, I mean, it sounds weirder than it is, but comes from the back alley. So I get there's a donation shop, and I kind of scope out the donations that are getting donated, because they kind of just get left out on the weekend, rained on, snowed on, and the company that it goes to is like, you know, gay bashing and, you know, so we're just kind of like, oh, fuck you anyway. So yeah, I've basically got most of my clothing from there lately, which is weird. There was a massive donation and all the shirts fit me, all the shoes fit my wife. It was just like
meant to be.
Yeah. So yeah. But yeah, maybe like 85. What's like, what did you spend on a shirt? That's Canadian though. So I don't know.
The most I spent on a shirt was like, like I bought a t-shirt in New York for, like $80.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, Pharrell Williams.
Okay.
That guy, he's got a clothing company called Ice Cream. And I went to their like flagship store up there and I was like, I'm here. I might as well be dumb and buy an $80 t-shirt.
Do you still have that t-shirt?
Yeah.
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 It's a daily special or what?
I'll have to go find it. I haven't worn it in a while. Yeah. That was a couple of years ago. So I was like, I'm over it. You know, it's a nice t-shirt though. It's a good quality t-shirt.
It's nice when you buy like an expensive shirt or something like that, or jeans or whatever, mm-hmm. and you get multiple uses of them.
Oh,
like, you know, pass over a year and you're just like, wow, yeah, sure, it was expensive, but I've had this shirt for 3 years. That's like 50 cents a day, if that, you know.
Easily. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a big like fashion guy or whatever, where I spend like dumb money that I don't have, you know.
Yeah.
On different I did buy like some nice jeans one time for like $100.
Yeah.
But that's like the most expensive.
There's a jean store in Edmonton. And their jeans are about like close to 150. And which is up there, but I've got one, they've lasted a year and a half so far, and they're just like, the crotch is just starting to go and the knees are just starting to go. Ooh. They do free repairs, and like compared to like another, you know, brand name like Levi's, you would buy $100 pair of jeans, $90 pair of jeans, and they last 8 months. So
that's true.
Like, you know, spending that money local, it's just kind of nicer.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, yeah, I got like, when it comes to performing, I have maybe five shirts that I've had for 5 years now. I've had the same leather jacket for almost like 20 years now. I just don't grow. So I just, you know, like, you know, but the biggest thing is like socks. That's my, that's what keeps me in the room getting changed. What socks am I going to wear? What socks?
Are they fun socks? Are they like different designs?
I like striped socks a lot. You know, sometimes I have multiple pairs of the same sock. Just,
of course.
I mean, right. Which is normal. Like everyone's got, you know, 10 pairs of white socks and 10 pairs of black socks. So why not have 10 pairs of white and black striped socks?
You know? Right.
Yeah. So it just kind of, yeah, I like socks. And here I usually double up on the socks,
because
feet get pretty cold. So, yeah, I go through a lot.
Yeah, socks are a fun way. If you're not wearing something crazy, like pattern wise, mm-hmm. socks are a fun way to be like an accent mark. You know.
Yeah. Well, it kind of helps you pick your shirt.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, it's like shirt and sock combo is like, it's important to mm-hmm. me. Not that it matters. Like I'm not looking at other people and being like, ooh, buddy,
this fucking weirdo with these socks and that shirt. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
The socks don't even match. You idiot.
I can't believe you came.
It's just something that keeps me awake at night for me personally.
I feel that. Yeah. What's your perfect pizza?
Perfect pizza? Easy. Mushroom and pineapple. That's my favorite.
Mushroom and pineapple.
Yeah, yeah, weird combo, but it's good. Because you get the, you know, juicy crunchiness of the pineapple.
Mm.
And the mushrooms just kind of a little bit of a protein. So yeah, I like it. I know it's kind of like some people hate pineapple on pizza, but pineapple's great.
And yeah,
it's all the same when you chew it. So.
I've come around on pineapple on pizza. At the beginning, I was like, okay, this is bullshit. But yeah. I've since come around.
Nice. Well, welcome to the club.
I need to try. Maybe I'll order my next pizza be a pineapple and mushroom. I have not had that combination yet.
Yeah. Yeah. That's I like that one. I mean, you can get like really fancy if you want to spend the extra bucks on topping and throw some red peppers in there, but you don't need it. Mushroom. Mm. Pineapple, that's the best combo. Mm.
Are you vegetarian?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah. Since I was 18.
Wow. Pretty much.
So, yeah.
Nice.
I used to eat like A&W baby burgers because they were dollar. And when I was just couch surfing when I was a teenager,
yeah,
like I would stuff pieces of paper up in vending machines, and then at the end of the day, I'd go around and collect all the change, so I would have enough to go buy a couple of baby burgers. And so I was pretty huge on those. And then when I decided not to, I just kind of lived off of peanut M&Ms that was my protein for a long time. Yeah. Now I'm healthier. You know, I got a garden now.
So. Right. Is it, do you have a go-to like faux meat, I guess, like a Beyond Burger or something like that?
Yeah. Beyond Burgers are great. Sometimes like I was kind of weirded out by them at first because like this tastes too close. Like,
it's gotta be, there's gotta be meat in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I'm like, send this back. But I don't miss any of the like meat flavors or like meat things, but like I guess like like faux chicken stuff is just kind of fun and easy. Usually doesn't taste like chicken that I remember, but it's good. There's tons of great vegetarian options out there now, especially like even in grocery stores and stuff. It's nice to see it kind of come around. So it's weird that they haven't really mastered a veggie dog yet, but we'll get there.
You know, baby steps. You know,
baby steps. You got the burger. Yeah.
Yeah. So in conjunction with the pizza question, what would you like on your tombstone?
I've thought about this a lot, to the point where I kind of forgot, you know, like you could say something dumb, like I'll be back. But you know, that's probably been done. Geez, I gotta pull out my will here.
You got your will?
What? I don't know. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I don't know if I even want, if I'd want necessarily a tombstone.
Right.
But yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I think I just want to be cremated. And
yeah,
I don't know.
Cremated for sure.
Yeah. And scattered somewhere. I don't know. I'll figure out where I'm going to get scattered.
I know I'm going to be a ghost. I said, I said if my ashes weren't, some of them weren't spread in Hawaii, that I was going to come back and haunt some certain people. Like,
oh,
you know. I think it was more so of a way to make sure that they went back.
Right.
And less selfish, but I really found myself in Hawaii. So, you know, I'd like to be part of there, I guess. Launched into space, put into a record. They just got that new thing where it's like you put your ashes into a record.
Ooh. Is there a record that you would want to? Like a record that's already out and you're like, oh, we can press into this.
Like, I think it's like you get pressed into your like your own pressing. Like
Right. But like...
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess it would just be like best of.
best of Ben. Yeah.
The best of Ben, you know, take whatever songs, whatever bands and put the ashes in there and, you know, send it around to friends. And it's kind of, Yeah. Cheese and onions, though, that'll be, if I have a funeral, that'll be raw onions and cheese will be a snack. I got that far. I know that much.
Is that a snack that you enjoy?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
It's my favorite. Oh, man. Yeah. Like,
wait, just like cheddar cheese and
raw onions. It's great. It's so good. It, like, the cheese just cuts the sharpness of the onion, but the onions just clear up your sinuses. It makes everything great.
Yeah.
Everyone's got bad breath. Doesn't matter.
If everybody's doing it, you know, yeah. Everybody's in the same boat.
Yeah. So I got that far. Tombstone. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, yeah, we've done about an hour here. do you have any like closing thoughts or anything you want to say?
No, Michael, it's just great to meet you and talk to you. And,
nice to meet you too.
Yeah.
I was, y'all's new album is great. Love is for Lovers. It's fun. I
appreciate you checking it out and sharing this and taking the time to, interview some guy who just talks about cheese and onions, ghosts.
And ghosts. Oh, shit. Oh, man. Stay on for a second, but Ben, you had options, but you decided to talk to me, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you.